Well, thank you. Honor to be here tonight. Special thanks to Bob and Jeannie and Barney and Vicky and Glenn and Jan for their great love and their faithfulness. If it wasn't for them, we probably wouldn't be here tonight. So appreciate all you guys do. Love you tremendously. Great manifestations, too. Wonderful. Well, so here we are, yet in these interesting times, as Bob was sharing, and was 113 days ago that the governor of California put the stay-home order on. And so we're looking at close to 3.5 months. And so, yes, it's definitely a big change for all of us. And, you know, other states may be longer, maybe shorter. We don't know. I mean, we don't know how long this is going to go. We don't know about tomorrow. But the question is how are we going to respond? How are we going to react to these situations? You know, the adversary is not going to stop. If it's not a virus pandemic, you know, 2-3 years from now, it could be, you know, who knows what, more volcanoes erupting. It could be economic collapse. You know, we don't know, but we do know who holds tomorrow, and we do know who knows about tomorrow, and that is our Heavenly Father. That is God, and He gives us some guidance on how to respond in these types of situations. So let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and we're going to look at verse 10. So we can react with stress, we can watch the news, and we can react to the things that we hear around us, or we can look to God. Hopefully everyone's there. Psalm 46. Let's look at verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." So let's look at the first part of that. Be still and know that I am God. God's basically telling us two things to do in that verse. So the first thing he's saying to do is to be still. To be still. And when you'd first look at that, you'd think, well, okay, God's just, you know, saying to, you know, meditate, get quiet inside and get calm. And well, absolutely. But the Hebrew word is the word rapha, and that means to let go, to just relax. To let go of yourself, to let go of our own ways, and let God be God. So be still. In the context of this verse is God being exalted among evil. You know, and we're unfortunately in a situation where the adversary has gone on a rampage here. But God tells us to be still, to let go. And then the second part he tells us to do, not just to be still, but he says, know that I am God. Now, to know that he is God, what does that mean? Well, we know him, we can know him obviously experientially just through our relationship with him, but in our knowledge, we hear lots of sermons about God's love, His mercy, His grace, and that's absolutely part of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He loves us so much, we love Him. But the one aspect, when we're in a battle, which we are, is we also want to remember who God is in His infinite power. God's power, that power source of who he is, doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter what the news says. We have to remember and keep in mind that our Heavenly Father is the one true God, the God of gods, and he's got all power. power that's beyond our comprehension. So let's talk a little bit about that. So I looked up some of the definitions of the word power, and it means there's several. It was like 25 or 30 little different definitions, but the ones I pulled out, the ability to do something or act in a particular way, physical strength and force exerted by something or someone, and the capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. So if we compare the power of mankind, man has the ability to make just incredibly powerful weapons and weapons of mass destruction and power of politics and so on. I was reading that a nuclear device that weighs about the size of an SUV has the same capacity of power of 1.2 million tons of TNT, 1.2 million tons of dynamite. That's in a nuclear weapon. So if you think about that, not 1.2 million sticks of dynamite, 1.2 million tons. And, you know, if that thing goes off, I mean, that's just incredible power that you know, it's hard to even wrap your mind around. So, you know, man has the capacity to produce great things of great power. But in comparison, God's power is such that it can't even be comprehended. If we look back and we just go back to the basics, you know, God created physical matter from thin air just by his word. You know, it's just like when Kathy was praying, you know, we have that authority by his word, by speaking his word. God spoke things into being from thin air. I mean, that's not, scientists will do all kinds of things where they'll create things, you know, chemistry, different things, but they don't really create anything. They just borrow things that God created and they'll formulate things. Man does not have that kind of ability to create something from thin air. He just doesn't. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 10 to start with. It says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King." So it doesn't matter how much power the natural man can create. It's just temporary. God's power is eternal. Let's go down to verse 12, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. "He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and he hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion." By the way, I'm using the King James Version for those of you that are following along. Let's look at this verse. It's just a tremendous wealth of information. He has made the earth by his power. So as I said, he formed all the different types of matter, rocks, trees, plants, you know, all from the down from the smallest to the size of the smallest cell to, you know, giant, you know, planets in the universe. And, you know, he's done all of that just by speaking it into existence. Water. You look at water, I mean, just, it's amazing. You'd think, oh, something so simple as water, but no scientist or man could ever create water. And then, on top of that, he created all living things. He gave the breath of life into creatures that he made with great detail and different aspects. And then his greatest creation, of course, was us, with the ability to think and communicate with him, the details of the human body. I mean, that's a whole other teaching. But just when you really stop to wrap your mind around these things, it says in Romans chapter 1 that those that don't know God actually do know him by looking at the things he made so that there's no excuse. So you can see the power of God just in the things that he made. It says also that the second part, he says he has established the world by his wisdom. So if you look at the order of nature and how things work, just the ecosystem, everything relies on everything. It's perfectly set up. You know, we have to have plant life to make oxygen. We have to have the bugs flying around to pollinate the plants. We have to have the sun to give them biosynthesis. You know, we have to have all the elements, you know, in place. And God set that all up by his wisdom. So let's now look at the last part of the verse, that he established the heavens. So basically, if you look at, I mean, we haven't seen actual heaven where he lives, but if you look at night, just look at the stars, right? There's millions upon millions. It says that just in our galaxy alone, which is the Milky Way, there's 100,000 million stars is what they estimate. And then there's millions upon millions of other galaxies. Well, it says that God, he names those stars. That's how infinite his wisdom is when he established the heavens. Let's look at Psalm 147, verse 4. Psalm 147, verse 4. It says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. He counts the stars. And he it's beyond what we can comprehend, like the sand of the sea, but yet he's named them all. Verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. So, is anything impossible with God? No. His power is something that we can count on because he is our Father. And we just have to remember, no matter how bad the circumstances get, this God of great might, he's on our side. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Absolutely not. And when it seems like the odds are against us and it's just a tough situation, we just have to be still. Just let go and know who God is. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus 14, I'll give everybody a minute to get there. So we're going to look at the story of Moses here. I shouldn't say story because it's not a bedtime story. It's the Word of God. These events really happened. They've got some great YouTube shows that show that archaeological evidence of that crossing. So Exodus 14, verse 10. Now, Israel at this time, they were in a pandemic. They were surrounded by tremendous plagues, right? You know, God just, he plagued Egypt, you know, pretty dramatically. But see, the thing of it is that it didn't touch them. They were perfectly safe. They were blessed. They were covered. You know, they looked to God during that time. But here Pharaoh, Pharaoh let them go at this point, and they're headed towards the promised land, and they have to cross the Red Sea. And we're going to pick it up in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And now this was their reaction, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So the first thing, crying out to God, that's a good thing. But now watch what they did. They complained. They saw all God did, to Pharaoh in Egypt and all that he had done, but yet they were afraid and they complained. Verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Now that's hilarious, because the Egyptians oppressed them severely. They were miserable. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. So it's ridiculous. So, you know, sometimes it's easy when things are different, you know. Times are different. It's inconvenient. You know, it's our lives have changed. But instead of complaining, you know, let's remember who our Father is and the great power he has towards us, right? So verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. And what does he say? Stand still. Be still. Now, the Hebrew word in this means, you know, basically be quiet. But in essence, they go together. Be quiet and let go. He says, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He didn't say, fear ye not and stand still. He added the part, see the salvation of the Lord. God's going to come through. No matter what, he is going to come through no matter the circumstances if we trust him. It could be tough. But if we stay faithful, and like Jeannie was saying, we keep praying and we keep going, we keep asking and we don't give up. He will come through. He said, and you'll see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Folks, I've got some news for you. This virus pandemic is going to be shut down and destroyed at some point in God's due time. We just have to be patient and trust God and lean on him. This will pass at some point. And the Lord, verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He's saying, why are you crying unto me? He's saying, I already promised you. I got this. I told you, I got this. And see, he's made those promises to us, his kids, through his son Jesus Christ. We have those promises that we are always going to triumph. It says in 1 Corinthians, God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Verse 16. He said, or no, we're still on 15, I'm sorry. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. We keep moving forward. We don't get stagnant. We don't look back. We keep moving forward, regardless. 16, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, he didn't tell Moses to go get weapons and fight the Egyptians. He didn't say, okay, you know, take half the people here and go around this way and, you know, it'll be a good fight and I'll make sure you win. He didn't say that. All he said was lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand. Is that very difficult? Not at all. Be still. Let go and know that he is God. That's all Moses had to do, was just be still. The only work he had to do was lift up his rod and stretch his hand out. Verse 17, and I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. No matter what the adversary is going to throw, God is going to knock him on his butt. And we just have to remember that. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Here we see God's power providing direction, a clear path, and he's protecting them on each side. And that's what God's going to do for us during these times. We look at his word, he's going to give us that clear path. He didn't have to pull out, Moses didn't have to pull out a map, say, okay, well, let's go around this way, and then if it's flooded here, we'll go back around to this way, and we'll figure it out. No, God gave him the path. He gave him the direction. Verse 23, the Egyptians pursued, and they went after them, and the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen, and it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels that drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Here we see God's power destroying the enemy, fighting for them. Verse 26, the Lord said unto Moses, once again, he didn't say, wait on the other side in case someone gets through, you know, with some weapons. He says, stretch out your hand, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And basically, we see a tremendous record here of how God protected them from the plagues. He brought them through it, and he destroyed the enemy. And so, and that's, keep in mind, this is in the past, before the finished work of our Lord and Savior. These, of course, these were his people, but we are not only his people, we're his children. How much more is God going to fight for us? How much more is he going to provide? You know, how much more is he going to be there? We need to be still and remember that he is God. So, a couple more verses and we'll close it out. We don't know what the immediate tomorrow is, but we do know what the actual future holds, because God, the script has been written. God spells it out. In Book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is coming back. And this is going to be the final battle that we will ever have to face. And, of course, we win. Jesus wins. We're with him when this happens. Yeah. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. And he treadeth down the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 19, jump down to 19, that was 16, 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies. This was the Antichrist, okay? In a sense, another Pharaoh. And all of these armies, now these aren't going to be horses with chariots and, you know, spears and things. These are going to be these nuclear, you know, weapons of, you know, mass destruction, tanks, airplanes. And every single nation in this world at that time is going to go against little old Israel, right? But look what happens. It says that here we pick it up, verse 19, let me finish reading that. They were all gathered, these armies were gathered together to wait and make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast, this Antichrist, will be taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and he which deceived them with the mark of the beast that worshiped the image, and they were both cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So, again, another war, but, you know, Jesus isn't using weapons to fight back. The church isn't using, it's simply he spoke. He's just his word, that kind of power, right? And that's the authority we have, the spoken word. And they were wiped out. Those armies were wiped out just by the word of God. Great, great stuff when we just, you know, we remember, you know, the past, the present, and the future. It's all, the script has been written, and God wins. We win. So I'm going to close it out here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The first thing listed on there is of power. When Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection, one of the first things he promised to the apostles was, he said, you will be endued with power. That same power that we just saw exhibited has been given to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, how do we manifest that power in our life today? Well, we have the nine manifestations, but the mindset, when we're utilizing those manifestations, the mindset is we go back to be still and know that he is God. It's vertical. It's a vertical relationship that manifests horizontally. That connection with God, just letting him be God and letting those manifestations work their power through us. You know, we're his vessels. So, you know, we heard some of the manifestations tonight, prophecy, speak. There's word of wisdom, word of knowledge. You know, God will direct us through that power in us, that power source. Ephesians 3:20, most of us know this verse. It says, now unto him who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God can do all, far beyond all that we can even ask or think. And that power is in us. That's how close we are to God himself. He's closer to us than our own breath. And we have that ability. So during these times, my encouragement is just be still and know that he is God, and remember that he's got this. So Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for a tremendous opportunity to share these things with your people. I pray that in the days ahead, that regardless of the circumstances, that we can just continue to trust you, to know you're there, and as you have given us this great grace and mercy and made us lights in this world, we can go forth and shine forth your love and help people come to know your Son. So I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Amen.